Welcome to Sports Mad Rez's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week, we had one post on sportsmedrez.org. That's res.org. This post introduced the Australia-Asian College of Sports Physicians position statement on the place of mesenchymal stem stromal cell therapies in sport and exercise medicine. A few weeks ago, we had a post that described a study that found that chronic traumatic encephalopathy was only detectable in individuals with documented participation in contact sports. This post started a lot of discussions on social media, and this week I invited Dr. Jane McDevitt from East Stroudsburg University, and who's a regular contributor to the sportsmedrez.org, and who wrote this post.
Welcome, Jane. So I'd like to talk to you about the recent paper that you did a post on regarding CTE. And it was kind of a unique paper in the sense that it's one of the first papers that I've at least seen where they've had control participants that were not athletes and then a group of brains that were athletes. And based on that study, it appeared that what they were finding was that people with no athletic history had no signals of CTE on the brains. And then the group of former athletes did have some people with CTE. So from this paper, what do you think is one of the key take-home messages, or how should clinicians start talking to their patients about it?
I feel like one of the most alarming factors was that none of them had CTE. However, all of the cases that reported that they played a contact sport specifically, nearly all of them reports of CTE. So moving forward, I would be very cognizant of every head impact, even if it doesn't result in an injury, that it's being counted for in the brain. And that's scary.
Did the study also show that individuals with a history of mild traumatic brain injury, like I think it was a single injury or something, did not have evidence or a relationship with CTE?
Oh, the cases that did report a concussion, but still were not involved in a contact sport, did not have CTE. So there, I think one was in a accident, one was from an abusive relationship, and one was from a fall. Though they had, and some would say not a mild, but a traumatic brain injury, they did not have CTE. So one of the other major points was that repeated head impact, having that being involved in a hobby that resulted in repeated head impacts, that seemed to be what was associated with CTE.
So there's been a lot of talk about CTE in the news and the movie recently. So to step back, can you kind of walk people through what CTE is?
CTE is almost like an abnormal scarring in the brain. It is an abnormal deposition of protein that is seen very microscopic, which is why you can't see it on an MRI or CT. And what happens is that it acts kind of like a scar tissue. Your brain can't communicate as well. So in the media, you see on the concussion, the movie, and you know that these people with CTE, they're having problems with depression. They can't think straight. They are having memory issues. And in part, it is because of this abnormal deposition of tau that causes these blockages in the brain.
So you have this blockage. We have seen these studies of brain autopsies. Is there any method yet for looking at it in a live person? So before something happens?
This is so unfortunate, but no. You need to be able to diagnose it. You need brain tissue. And we're not going to take brain tissue out of a living person. Even when we look at muscle tissue, it's very difficult to look at somebody's muscle tissue because we, you know, need to extract muscle. So if we don't want to extract muscle, we're certainly not going to extract brain.
So just to lay out some basic background information, I know we're still learning a lot about CTE and we still have ways to go, but we've definitely seen some red flags. But just for some basics, do we have a sense for what might be the prevalence rates of CTE among retired athletes or the general population.
So that was the really interesting part about this study, is that they didn't include controls. However, this was from a brain bank, because you do need brain tissue to diagnose CTE. So there's no true incidence or prevalence because we're getting it from a very specific cohort. More research is going to be necessary to really pick from the general population to get a true sense. However, in the football population and this contact sport, it does seem to be high, but no specific numbers can truly be calculated.
So with all of the attention right now on CTE, what would you say to a parent that came into the clinic or an athlete that came into the clinic that was worried about CTE?
I would say that it is a good concern, and it's good that you are knowledgeable about the down road. And I would just go back to, you know, look at your tackling techniques and focus on, are you leading with the head? How many times a day are you getting hit? Do you have headaches after practice? Should you be sitting out? Are you getting a concussion? So even though there wasn't a true association to brain injury, however, those head impacts matter. And that's pretty much what I would just try and get them to understand, is that it seems like the number of head impacts could result in CTE down the road. However, look at the amount of play time, and are you going to go move forward into college? But I don't want to get people scared and not participating in sports, you know, because obviously we need to stay active, and football is a really fun sport. So I'm not trying to not have them participate, but look at some of these rules that seem a little dated. We don't joust anymore. So, you know, maybe we can take out a little bit more of tackling and head impacts during practice.
So it kind of serves as a potential way that, even though we don't necessarily know cause and effect or the dose response or how many hits or how hard of a set of hits it's going to be, this still serves as a good way to initiate a conversation about at least recognizing that there's potential long-term consequences to what they're doing, and that there may be ways that they can modify their activity.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, also, we have the average age was older. They were 40s, 50s, something like that. I don't know the exact number. However, you know, think about all of those. Flag football, are you playing recreationally, and do they get a little bit rough? You know, so even though the focus is a lot on the professional football players, I mean, look at ice hockey, rugby, soccer. There's a lot of sports that have multiple head impacts and repeated head impacts. So, you know, this could affect the general population, not just football. So I do want to put that out there as well.
Great. Is there any other take-home messages that you would like clinicians to get from the latest study on CTE?
Be open to conversations with coaches, maybe, because not every coach is probably going to pick this article up and read it. So, you know, let them know that these adolescent brains or these growing brains are in your hands. And let's look at the rules and let's have these conversations. And, you know, let's try and minimize the potential for CTE.
So it sounds like a good step, next step for a lot of clinicians, is to help patients separate the hype from truth and to understand what is true and recognize the minor changes that could be made to how a team practices or plays that could have dramatic effects, even if they don't develop the problem.
Absolutely.
It could have other benefits for them.
Well put. Yes.
Great. Thanks, Jane.
Thank you.
To our listeners, don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included an article from the Journal of Athletic Training entitled A Statistical Primer for Athletic Trainers: The Difference Between Statistical and Clinical Meaningfulness. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking to get an early start with evidence-based practice CEUs, then please check out our 4 online courses available through Human Kinetics website. And remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.